been a couple of weeks, but what's new with the Antlers? It's Christmas season, and I guess there are some things happening.
Well, it's snowing again.
Yeah, which is nice. That's not new.
I'd just like to thank the Blue Liners, as usual. I appreciate you guys coming down for the show every week. And get ready for Santa. Antlers has Santa Saturdays, the next two Saturdays in a row, 11 to 2. We have breakfast and brunch with Santa from 11 to 2. Free cookie decorating, pictures. Martina Bowman's going to be here taking pictures with Santa.
Cool.
And that goes on for the next two Saturdays.
So bring the kids and come on down.
Yeah. It's a good time.
How did your dinner theater work out for you?
Real well. I sold out two weekends in a row, or two Sundays in a row, for the fundraiser for Stars Dinner Theater. They did a cabin mystery murder. Had a lot of fun. Sold out two times, and they're starting the planning for another one sometime this winter. They haven't picked a date yet, but I'm sure it'll be sometime in early March.
Yeah, that'll be good. That gives people a little something to do. It's a little different than your normal thing, and it helps you out. It helps Stars out.
Yep, it's they did real well. Last year they only did one night, and we did it two different times, one night, and this year already they did two nights in a row. And we're able to sell out 80 tickets for both, so that worked out really well for them and us.
Yeah, that's great. That's good. Thanks for stopping by. And we got anything else? We got any specials this week people should know about?
We always have our prime rib special on Saturday night, fish fry on Sunday or on Friday, and then we have every week now we do a specialty poutine. We've got a Benedict burger with egg, Canadian bacon, and hollandaise sauce going right now, and then we also have a bluegill special running all week.
Okay, very good. Bluegill. All right.
All right.
Come on down to the Antlers.
Thanks
they
a lot, guys.
Feed you well. Thanks, Chris. Chris Sabol joining us here tonight on the Laker Hockey Show. And we'll move in now with the head coach of the Lakers. Damon Whitten is with us. And you going to any holiday parties this Christmas season or what?
Yeah, coming off a tough one there for sure. And then, it gets hard. It gets tough. You know, it's frustrating. And probably the worst part is, just the effort Friday. You know, disappointing to come in with an effort like that. And response like that, we're starting to stack some decent games or taking some strides, and it seems kind of two steps forward and three steps back. So that's the hard part coming up Friday, but some positive Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday night team played better. Tough luck. I thought your best period was the third period, yet you gave up two goals in that period and lost the game 3-0. But what we're talking about here is 7-0 Friday night, 3-0 on Saturday night to Minnesota State Mankato. And I guess the big thing I would say about that series is maybe you're disappointed in how your team played, but I thought Minnesota State's the best game I've seen in here in a long time.
Yeah, no question. There's a reason. I mean, they should have been rated higher than they were coming into it. And, today the polls come out. They're second in the country. And I no question. I mean, they deserve to be there. They've done a great job there. And it's a great measuring stick. And that's where we want to be and get to. And that's a team you want to measure yourself against. So, they threaten you in so many ways. They come at you with speed throughout their lineup. Their top six forwards all have great skill. You make a mistake, you turn it over, they can capitalize and take advantage. They have a very mobile decor, so they limit their chances against. When you do generate chances, they got Stephon Williams, former Rookie of the Year in the net. So they're as deep as we'll see all year, and certainly a top five team and really a top three team. I mean, they should make waves come NCAA time if they continue to do what they do.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to look at the WCHA website late today. I looked at it midday, and they didn't have Player of the Week up yet. I'm almost assuming that Stephon Williams is going to be the Defensive Player of the Week for the second straight week with those two shutouts.
Yeah. Probably an easy decision there, two shutouts, and didn't have to do as much work as we wanted to do, but he came off a very solid weekend, so certainly he got that. And Alex Patan was Offensive Player of the Week. It escapes me who the Rookie of the Week was right now, but yep, Stephon named Defensive Player of the Week. And going to Friday's game, I think if you look at the first period Friday, we were in fine shape. We were in fine shape late in the first period, then really a simple play, and we showed the guys Saturday there. Two breakdowns on the play. We had a chance just to make a 50-50 to win a puck battle. We had a good D-zone coverage on. The puck advanced up our wall. Again, just a player. We probably had inside position, had a chance to make a play on the puck. It was a 50-50 puck. We lost the battle. It bypassed up to their point man, who took a shot from along the wall. That's a shot we're willing to give up. If their D wrist a puck on net, when him being right against the blue line wall, that's a non-dangerous shot. One of our defensemen didn't do a great job of beating his man back to the net. You can either beat your guy back to the net or you can box out. And it was really a simple play. If you put him on your hip, box out, control space a little bit. Well, we didn't do that. We let them have a step on us out of the corner. They just get a little tip on the puck, and you know, all of a sudden they get a little bit of life or momentum. But you know, we weren't in bad shape, but it's two small areas, two little habits that we talk a lot about, and we didn't execute it, and that certainly got them rolling.
Well, one thing, a positive side of things here, you got great goaltending on Saturday night. I thought Gordy Dayfield really responded to kind of an off night on Friday night and played really well for you Saturday night.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny as a staff and as a coach, you know, you talk a lot about that. We kept going back and forth. Should we get him out of there Friday night, you know, save him a little bit and not let him deal with that? And we've done that all year long. We've kind of let him off the hook, or goalies off the hook when games have gotten away. We thought it'd be healthy for Gordy to fight through that, you know, to battle with it. And he was actually glad we left him in as well. So he fought through that, and then certainly a comeback Saturday, and they're huge league points at home, and you want to put your best foot forward. And we've talked a little bit about where he ranks. You know, he's kind of won that number one job. So we went back with Gordy and did a great job. He gave us a chance to win. You know, I've only had one view of the reviewed goal that they call the goal. From the video replay we have, there was definitely not enough there to overturn the call of a non-goal on the ice, but I've not had a chance to watch the overhead view that they saw. You know, Draplik thought it went off their player for sure, but, you know, so you, again, once again, a good first period, a little bit of a controversial goal that they call a goal, and it seems like those have gone against us all year long, but then when they get momentum once again and they start to feel good after what really been a pretty good period for us in that first period Saturday night.
Yeah, you came out really well. You outshot them. It's the only period all weekend where you outshot Minnesota State Mankato. I think it was 13-10, and wouldn't you know it, you surrendered two goals. You don't get any. You hit a goalpost. Chris Ciotti rang one off the post. You had a couple of other, I thought, were really good chances where a player probably should have scored on it, but by then we're bearing down, holding the stick pretty hard, and trying to do things, and when you're thinking too much and trying to do things, it never happens.
Yeah, it's not overly natural for us around that area, and that's you know, it's a hard thing to teach. You know, to have a you know, a goal scorer's mentality or a goal you know, a high end finisher skill. You look at Gervais and LaFontaine, some of those guys. It's pretty natural to them, and they get the one chance, they bear down, and certainly they're in a different situation. You know, as a team with feeling good and confidence up, so it's tough. And even going back to Friday night, it was a 1-0 game on the power play, and Chris Ciotti got that great look off a rebound play, and Williams makes a big save. You know, if Ciotti pots that, it's 1-1, and the momentum starts to shift and change a little bit. So it's a tough area to coach in terms of finishing ability and creating offense. Sometimes you have some of that, and sometimes you lack that, and I think we lack that a little bit. So we certainly work on it and try to put the kids in situations. Those of you who watch practice, we do a ton of small area games to work on making plays in tight areas and getting off scoring chances in those tight areas. But it's a tough thing to manufacture when you don't have some of that in your lineup.
This is a tough week, too. You're going to go to play North Dakota. It'll be a non-conference series, but North Dakota, I think, is one of the top three ranked teams in the country right now, too. It's a National Collegiate Hockey Conference team. Engelstad Arena, our team has never been there. It'll be a great experience for these kids to go in there because it's a huge Taj Mahal of college hockey building. Seats over 12,000 people. They draw better than 11,000 every game, no matter who they play. And it's a long road trip, tough week for practice because of that. I guess you had a full practice today, then on Monday, and you'll probably go Tuesday, Wednesday, and then make the trip over and skate at Engelstad on Thursday.
Yeah, I didn't realize that we've never been out there. I asked the guys today, and nobody's been out there. They mentioned that, but you know, it's a place you want to play. And in college hockey, you mentioned it's probably the nicest rink in the NCAA, one of the best crowds. You know, it'll be loud, it'll be intense. They've got a couple of fans that sit right behind our bench that'll be chirping us all weekend long. So a chance to maintain your composure. The new rankings came out today. They're ranked number one in the country, and as everybody's seen the last couple of weeks, that top-ranked team has had a hard time holding on to the number one ranking. So hopefully we can have a little bit of a say this week in knocking off another team from the top rank. It happened to you know, the last three or four, BU, Michigan Tech. Nobody's held on to that ranking long. So hopefully we can go in there and do a job. But, you know, I told our guys, what an opportunity, you know, to hit the road, a hostile environment, play in a great rink, play the number one team in the country. So this is why you come to Lake State. This is why you want to play college hockey. So, you know, we're excited. We're not where we want to be, but we're excited. And when we put together our best game, you know, we need all 20 guys to give us a chance to be successful. When we do that, you know, we're right there. It's a one-goal game into the third period. You know, the post, you don't hit the post, you get a save, whatever, you give yourself a chance. So, you know, we're not where we want to be, but we're not as far as we think sometimes either. But a great challenge once again this weekend with the number one ranked team in the country.
Yeah, when you're trying to get 20 guys to pull together in the same direction, that's been up. It gets even tougher when it's hard to find 20 guys right now. We've got some injuries, we've got some illness, we've got some, you know, we're not trying to make excuses. We're just trying to state what the facts are here. We got some difficult things right now with injuries and illness.
Yeah, I think ideally this would be a perfect bye week in a, you know, maybe even more typical season, or take away some of our travel we've had. But, you know, those things start to creep up. You know, Matt McKelvey called last night with one of our guys is out with an illness. And then today we get to the rink. There's another guy that's another upper body injury. So, you know, we had a little bit of a non-traditional practice today. But if we had a little bit more of in our set lines and D pairings, we'd have been really short. So, one, the illness should be good to go tomorrow. We might give him a day off just to let him rest up a little bit more. The other defenseman's probably out weekend. So, yeah, we're down some bodies, and that happens in a long season with the travel we had and this time of year. And that's why, again, ideally you'd be off a bye week going into finals, let the guys prepare for finals, and then wrap up the WCHA play next weekend. But that's not the schedule we have, so we've got to find the best 20 guys to travel and get ready to win a hockey game.
Yeah, I think fans need to understand that the WCHA sets the league schedule for us. We have to play when they say we play, where we have to play, et cetera. So anything that's a league game is set by the league. But after that, we have a say in how we set non-conference games, but that can be very difficult because quite often teams want us to go airplanes. They want to come all the way to Sault Ste. Marie, and so we sometimes have to give in on that just to have a schedule.
Yeah, it's not easy. Like you said, that every league has their own set schedule you're trying to work around. We do have some flexibility once the WCHA schedule comes out. You know, Walt or I or whoever might try to shift a weekend if we got something lined up. We had to shift a series next year for Bowling Green to us to fit in some games, non-conference. So, you know, there's a lot of moving pieces. The hard part is it's done 3 or 4 years out, and you know, so scheduling is done a couple of years out now. So coming into the situation, you know, that schedule's locked up and done. And you know, what looks good on paper some years, you get into the following year and your team's changed so much, you might not like it as much. But you know, that's one thing I think with our travel this year. There's been some long trips. You know, we still have a couple left second half, and then getting down to Mankato. You know, certainly North Dakota this week. So you know, some years it might be ideal to have a little bit more of a bye early on versus the ones we have later coming up. But again, that's what it is, and that's what we have to be prepared for.
Yeah, we don't play at home again until past the midway point in the month of January. That's tough for our home crowd to get out and support us. But we do go to North this weekend. Next weekend, we're at Ferris State. That'll be tough. CJ Mott's still playing goal down there as far as I know. And then we've got the Christmas break coming up, and then we go to Naples, Florida for a tournament there where it's going to be Cornell and the winner or loser of Notre Dame, Miami. So those are tough games. And then we go to Mankato before we come home and play again.
Yeah. I mean, it's a gauntlet right now of the opponents we're playing. But again, you know, it's good. It's what we want. It's what we're trying to aspire to. They're teams we want to match up with, and that's where we're headed. That's where we're going. So, you know, we've got a chance to write this a little bit against great opponents and great teams and learn and build. And, you know, our freshmen here, another couple of weeks, they won't be freshmen. I mean, they're well seasoned. Yeah. You know, going into, you know, once again, Friday night, Saturday night before the game, some of the off ice officials come down to get your starting lineups, and we get to pick who we want to put up against Hobie Baker candidates. Is it going to be a freshman defenseman and a junior defense, or two freshmen? And, you know, those are tough matchups, you know, the freshman defenseman to go match up against some of these guys. And it'll be no different going into North Dakota, and there you don't get the line changes and like that. So there's going to be some situations that make us uncomfortable, and our guys have to respond and grow and get better.
Yep, it's going to be a test, no doubt about it, North Dakota this weekend. We're still not certain if we're going to be able to go at this. The cost of this season is catching up to Sovereign Communications, too. They're talking about taking a feed on this series this weekend to save money, but we'll decide that tomorrow and find out what's going on. We're going to take a break here in the hockey show tonight. We'll be back. We'll talk about the Sioux and what they've got to offer when we return to the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400.
Host Bill Crawford on ESPN 1400.
Alrighty, we are back at the Antlers on a snowy again. Boy, we have a change in weather every week. It's a snowy Monday night in Sault Ste. Marie this one. And Bill Crawford along with Damon Witten in the Laker Hockey Show here at Antlers. And Damon, you know, a tough weekend because you give up 10 goals and you don't score any. I think it's got to be re-eating at you guys as a coaching staff, because I know you work really hard on the round enough to see that there's a lot of us here and trying to come up with things to do to make this team get better every day. I know you work at power play, you work at PK in practice, a lot of skating in practice, trying to get into better shape. And I still have people on the street tell me, we're just not in shape. We can't keep up with the other team. I don't think it's being in shape as much as it is we have some guys who just aren't great skaters, so they look like they're out of shape. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of work that you're doing, and yet you don't score a goal on the weekend. It's pretty frustrating for the staff, too.
Well, no question. I mean, and you feel bad for the players, the frustration. I mean, they're playing. They're working. You know, obviously there's some nights we don't bring the game that we would like them to have, and that happens over the course of the season. Again, I think you got to give Mankato credit where it's due. The pace they play with, is not many teams can keep up with that team, and there's a reason why they're there. But yeah, you know, our conditioning level's improved. It's still not quite where we want it to be. You know, I think we're also too a little bit delicate. You know, but there's certainly a certain style of play change, and I think, you know, some guys were a little bit more comfortable the way that they used to play. So we've asked a lot of our kids to get outside of their comfort zone in terms of how we're playing and what we want them to do, and it's a challenge. You know, they were maybe recruited to play a certain style, and now that's changed, and it's probably not you know, a great fit in some ways. And you know, we could change what we want to do. We talk about that, you know, feeling things back or whatever, but we have a vision of where we're going to go. We have a plan of how we want to get there, and we're asking our guys to do that, and they've done a good job. I mean, I think they're in, and they're working towards that, and you know, so it's going to continue to evolve and get better, and you know, so part of that is on us and what we're at, but part of that's Mankato. You know, we're not the only team that too, and I think, you know, watching them go forward, they're starting to hit on all cylinders, and they'll do that to some other teams as well.
Okay, we've got a lot of questions here about the Fighting Sioux and about what's going to happen this weekend, what kind of team they are. I know they've got some standing players, and we'll let you talk about them in a minute, but we've got a lot of questions from our fans who are here in the building tonight, and we do have another good turnout. We really appreciate all the fans coming out each week here to the Antlers and joining us. Some of the questions, we'll just run right down them. We got about seven questions here. One fan says that he or she has noticed that our players tend to pool at one side of the ice and leave the other side of the ice wide open. Is that a strategy, or is that something they're just doing on their own and the ice is open on one side? Yeah, well, I'm not sure I quite understand that, but.
Yeah, well, I think, yeah, we definitely play in our D zone a surround type of coverage. So, you know, we're trying to go aggressive on the puck carrier, where our D1, you know, is pushing them up the wall, taking away a cutback lane. Our low forward plays above them to outnumber that situation. Then our second D, instead of holding net front in a more traditional man versus man, he's tighter as well. So hopefully we can get a pin and a turnover transition the other way. We have what we call our State Farm forward should be responsible for net front. So a lot of what we do and predicate our D-zone system on is not allowing the puck to change sides of the ice. If they want to move it up the strong side wall of that D-man, that's fine. That's a non-dangerous shot. But we certainly try to contain the puck to one side of the ice. So I think that's what the person's seeing. You know, and the third goal Saturday was a great example. You know, we just had one of our forwards overcommit, and he knew right when he came back to the bench, he didn't stop in what we call State Farm, or, you know, to take care of the net front coverage. And, you know, it wasn't a freshman, and it wasn't a sophomore. It was one of our upperclassmen, and that's a frustrating point. You know, here we're in December, end of November, and, you know, we've got guys making maybe some freshman mistakes or, you know, mistakes that shouldn't be happening this time of year. So, and there's adjustment. Again, it's a much different style of play than they played last year. So they're still learning and growing in what we're doing. But we're trying to be very aggressive. We're trying to defend by turning pucks over and playing on offense and possessing the puck. And, you know, part of that is, you know, the players we have weren't recruited to do quite that. So it's a work in progress from their point of view. And then we've got to do a better job making sure we're clear in what our expectation is, what we're trying to do. But, yeah, there's definitely an outnumber situation where you see our guys, you know, really outnumbering on the strong side of the puck.
Okay, a couple other questions here from the fans. Did Zach Lesch get hurt on Friday night? What time of the game did he get hurt, if he did? He did not play on Saturday.
Yeah, he took a big hit Friday. Went out with an upper body injury. He came back after the hit. It was, I think, 7 or 8 minutes into the third period, right in front of our net sort of area. He came back out, tried to make a goal of it, but couldn't do it with that. So Zach is out with an injury.
Okay, and he's out indefinitely at this point?
Yeah, did not practice today.
Okay, are we looking at recruiting local kids? By that, I guess that would be Sioux Eagles players who are Junior A players in the North American Hockey League, or maybe Sioux High Blue Devils?
Yeah, I was going to say there's more than just the Eagles. There with the high school kids and maybe across the bridge. Yeah, I mean, you know, we want to do a great job in our backyard. So if there's players that we can't recruit here just to recruit here to say we're getting local kids, they've got to be, you know, Division One hockey players who help us get to be where we want to be. But no question, I mean, we want to take care of our backyard, and you know, hopefully we're putting out good enough players that help us win hockey games and elevate our program. So, you know, whether it's right here in Sioux, Michigan, or across the bridge or a radio around here, we actually had an unofficial visit from a kid from Gaylord this weekend here. So, yeah, we're, you know, good hockey players, whether they're local or close, far, whatever, we'll take them. And if they help us, you know, get to where we want to be, if they represent us well off the ice and help us win hockey games, we'll look anywhere.
Yeah, the players we announced last week, Rich was on with us, and we announced eight names. We had eight young men who signed national letters of intent to play in the future at Lake Superior State. Not all of them are coming in next season, perhaps five of them, maybe six. Is that correct?
Yeah, about that. Yeah, like I said, it's we talked about being over ready as well. And, yeah, so it's always a work in progress. You know, they've got to be ready to come in. We have to have room. You know, in today's day and age, you never know who's signing. I mean, you know, we lost a sophomore goalie last year in Michigan Tech who was like 7th, 8th in the categories, and he signed. So you never know who you're losing these day and age. You know, I wanted to mention just real quickly recruiting. I think one thing, Rich, kind of, you know, we get so excited about the hockey side of it, but two or three of our guys in particular, you know, the Shattuck St. Mary's is a great school. You know, both Matt McCardle coming in with a 3.6 grade point average, Colin Sackman, I believe, with a 3.5. McCardle sent an email to the dean of the business school, I think, before he came, and that email went viral. We had like six people on campus fighting to meet with Matt McCardle to try to get him into their major or whatever. So, you know, we talk about the hockey side and how excited we are, but we also have, you know, four or five of them that are really outstanding students, and to us, that's a really nice feature too. You know, we know they're going to come here, do a great job in the classroom, and so there's, you know, the other side of it, the more important side that we don't talk about sometimes here, but good for those guys, and we have a real strong academic group coming in as well.
Yeah, this Minnesota State team has maybe three, four kids who went to Shattuck, in particular Teddy Bluger is just an outstanding player, and I think he went straight from Shattuck to playing college hockey. He's an incredible player.
Yeah, Bluger, LaFontaine for sure. Yeah. Both Tua and academic guys. So it's a great pipeline to have, and we'll continue to, you know, to use Matt and Colin and other guys in that pipeline to work on more and keep working with Tom Ward and the guys down there.
Did we make a change in the offense at the end of Saturday night's game? Because the half of the shots we got in that game occurred in the last 12 minutes of the hockey game.
Yeah, I mean, we're always, you know, we use our media timeouts to hit certain areas that we're trying to adjust on, things we either need to do better that'll help us, or we could create more offense. So, you know, not a huge adjustment, but one thing we thought we could do coming into the weekend is there a little bit more of a man-on-man D-zone coverage until the puck stalls and they get an outnumber situation. But because of their mobility, we had a hard time kind of holding on to pucks and self-cycling or cycling strong side. So we call it on the first touch, we tried to cycle east-west. So on the first touch of the puck, we wanted to reverse it behind their net to the weak side. You know, I thought that freed up a little bit of time. Then we went low to high and tried to use the high slot area. So, you know, a small adjustment. You know, it's things we do depending on our opponent. And in-game, some of the adjustments we try to make, you know, as we're seeing what's happening when it's going on.
Yeah, this next one's a good question. Well, they're all good questions, but this one is particularly interesting. Do teams like Notre Dame and North Dakota help financially teams like Lake Superior State when you make a trip to play them? Because it's boosting their revenue to have you in their building. Do they feed that back in any way?
Yeah. Depending on the type of, if you just do a straight up home for home exchange, like, you know, if North Dakota were to come here next year and we went there this year, it'd just be a straight up head for head trade games. But it's, when it's a one way or a two for one or just one way, there is a guarantee that comes along with that.
So they do pay you some money.
Yep. And that's part of the reason why some schools will do it. And, you know, I don't think any of us love doing it. I know at Tech we got into it a little bit as well, doing some two for ones, but, you know, we need home games, and that's something moving forward that, you know, we'll work to schedule and make sure we're getting those same opponents up here.
Okay. Pink in the Rink weekend was not this past weekend, but the weekend before. How did it turn out money raising? How did that come out? Do you have any clue there? Did they do well with it?
Yeah, that's a great question. I haven't seen numbers yet. I don't know if they're still working on them. We're still doing some merchandise sales. That's still going on for anybody here or back home who didn't get their apparel yet. There's still some sales going on and still some jersey sales going on. So I haven't seen a final number yet. I'm not sure if we do a press release most years when that number comes out, but I'm sure we'll have it out there when it's all said and done.
Yeah, we usually do something with that. Saturday night, net came off in behind Gordy Dayfield. It was off for quite a few seconds before the officials stopped the play. Is there anything that, did anybody notice that from the bench? Were you guys yelling about it? Were the players on the ice saying anything? I think actually it was one of our who pointed out that the net was off and Butch Musso stopped the play.
Yeah, usually you have a linesman right in front of you on the blue line, either right in front of your bench or they're across the ice and then the ref's out by center ice. So you usually have 3-4 guys screaming at the linesman or the ref, and then they, you know, from a further out vantage point, they have to try to see if they think it's off or it is off for sure. They usually want to let the ref down low make that that call because he's right there. And when you're 70 feet away, it's sometimes you can't quite tell. But, yeah, typically those situations, you have a couple players and a coach screaming at the linesman that the net's off, especially when you're in the duress and you want the whistle. So we let them know. We let them know on offsides, and, you know, we don't like their calls or some of the icing. So, yeah, they're, you know, it's a thankless job down there. I thought they did a good job. I thought the refing's been pretty good this year overall, beyond maybe some of the reviews and whatnot. But we definitely try to let them know from the bench when we can.
Okay, we're going to take our second break in the Laker Hockey Show tonight. We'll be back with more. We'll talk about North Dakota. We'll talk about... All right, we're back at the Antlers. The Laker Hockey Show continues. Bill Crawford along with Damon Witt, head coach of the Lakers. And Damon, there were some good things that came out of this weekend. There always are good things, even when you get beat. And it's tough to lose two games, but against a very, very good opponent. So there has to be a little bit of learning going on there. And I know defensively they may have had deficiencies all weekend because they just got together, but I thought Globke and Clement and Nardi were pretty good offensively and moving the puck in both games, but especially Saturday night.
Yeah, well, like you said, you know, obviously Al came out for the one game there, and it looks like the message was received because he was playing hard. You know, he's moving his feet. He's doing some of the things that, you know, we definitely need him to be doing for us to be successful. So I thought it was his best game of the year by far. I know he came up this morning to sit down with Coach Mitro and watch his shifts back from Friday night's game and then Saturday night's game. So, you know, there's some teaching we have to do, and we have to do a better job with Al in terms of some of the defensive responsibilities we're asking him to pick up. But I thought with the puck on his stick, with his speed, with playing low, and we call it playing heavy, being strong on pucks, was by far his best effort. Mitch Nardi came in, as you mentioned. I mean, I like Mitch's skating a lot. I like his effort a lot. You know, some of the habits we talk about are stops and starts and not big loops on the ice, and that's something we'll work with Mitch that, you know, he's got to be a little bit more efficient away from the puck and stopping and starting and not looping. But yeah, he came in, did a good job. So I thought that, you know, Garrett, to me, the last two weekends is really using his speed. And, you know, really on the back check, just being relentless, being harder to play against, and that's leading to some offense for him as well. So I like the line. They can skate. They've got some skills, so they should be able to chip in. We do want a little bit more defensively, a little bit better awareness and positioning, and that's on us to get them dialed in a little bit more. But they'll bring an element to our team if they can stay together and keep rolling for us.
Yeah, I thought another aspect of the game that was pretty strong in both games was in the faceoff circle until the third period on Saturday night. You held your own there. You either beat them or you were pretty close to being even with them all weekend. They kind of took you to the woodshed in the third period on Saturday, but that was the only time when and faceoffs are a big deal because it's puck possession.
Yeah, it is, and it's an area we haven't been good at, you know, and we do play a couple upperclassmen down the middle, and, you know, it's an area we'd like to be better at. But, yeah, this weekend was definitely one of our better efforts that way, and then Friday in the power play we won two or three clean draws that got us our looks and Ciotti's grade-A scoring chance. So it's a huge point of emphasis. You know, we do it, 3-4 times a week in practice, either live with the whole team or centers after the practice concludes to go take some face-offs. You know, I think we try to win them a little bit too cute and too clean sometimes instead of just kind of mucking it and getting in there and being strong. So it's an area we'll continue to keep working on. If we can get better there, that obviously helps us with puck possession.
Yeah, they had a couple real skilled face-off people, Minnesota State, Mankato did, and what they did with, I noticed what Kellen Lane used to do for the Lakers, and he hardly lost a face-off when he was here. he would take body into the other guy and actually run him over, and the puck would come free, and then the forward reach in and grab the puck, and you've got it.
Yeah, and I love it because that, you're not losing it. You know, the worst thing that can happen is it's a 50-50 puck. You hope your winger's coming and help out. So I agree. I think it's a great thing. I think we need to be more physical and stronger on our faceoffs. You know, we're getting a little bit better, and you know, our quick twitch, our reaction. You know, we need to be a little bit better there, but we're starting to take some steps there, and that's a positive.
Okay, very good. Let's get into recruiting a little bit. I know that we've talked about lifeblood before. It's so important. If we want to get better as a team, we need to get better players, and we need to get some, you know, guys in here who can skate, handle the puck, do all those things that take skill. And I know it's being worked on. I know we've got 8 kids signed to NLIs already. We'll probably have that many or more in the spring. Not all of them are coming next year, but what's going on with recruiting right now? I think Pete's probably heading out here again pretty soon. He spends more time on the road than he does at home.
Yeah, he'll hit the road air this weekend. And, you know, typically, you know, when you have a road trip, you try to bring one assistant, and it's a good time for the other assistant to hit the road, you know. And when for homes, obviously, we all have families and kids, and Pete's moving here shortly, which will be great for him. But when we're home, hopefully we can use it as a home weekend and get a little bit more time around the team. You know, but you miss those guys when they're gone, whether it's Rich doing what he does with forwards and the offensive side, or Pete with the goaltenders. So it's a tough balance to have. But you know, we're always looking. You know, we're working hard to make our team better. You know, in every area. You know, and you look at a Mike Hastings or what Mel's done over at Michigan Tech. I mean, you have to be relentless. Like, just like we're asking our players to be relentless. You know, in the style of play, we have to be relentless recruiting. You know, you never know, even though you think you're done and you don't have room, you know, strange things happen. You know, kids sign, or kids decide to go somewhere else, or, you know, a player that's too good to pass up becomes available and have money available, or whatever it is. So, you know, we're going to be relentless. So up till Christmas, up till the end of the season. I don't see us signing 8 more in the second signing period, but might be a couple. And, you know, if we can make our team better and upgrade what we're trying to do, then we'll just take the opportunity to do that.
How many young men are signed from the past year or so who have to come in here or should be coming in here because they have signed national letters of intent? Do we have guys who are off still playing junior right now who in next year that we know of?
That we didn't talk about?
Well, we haven't talked about them because we talked about them last year that they signed. There was Hans Gorowski, I think, was one of them from up in Alaska. And then there's the 2 local kids who committed to us verbally. They have not signed national letters as far as I know.
Right, verbal commitments we can't speak about. And, you know, so we can't speak about them if they're verbal commitments they haven't signed yet. I mean, they will be, whether it's this spring or later on, and then figuring out when they're over ready. You know, they've got a whoever it is out there, you know, have to be over ready wherever they're playing, whether it's wherever. So I got to be careful with what I say. Hans is still signed to his NLI. We didn't discuss him because he previously signed.
Right.
So, yeah, you know, I know he's the same boat. He's getting ready and having a good year. He's starting to play a little bit better. You know, we've had good conversations with Hans, and it's delicate because – you know, we don't know him well as a player. We've seen him a little bit and got to see him in Blaine a little bit. So we're still trying to get to know him a little bit better in his game and where he fits in.
Okay, let's talk about North Dakota. That's the team that's coming up this weekend. Very good team. You just said a few moments ago they're ranked number 1 in the informal poll that goes out right now. Pairwise, they're very high end. They're a very good team. They're very, very good at home. They play in front of more than 11,000 fans every time they take the ice. That gives them a tremendous home ice advantage, and they'll be really tough this weekend, but it'll be a great atmosphere and a great experience for our guys.
Yeah, it's a fun place to play. You know, it's obviously a hockey mat area and a great environment in there, and, you know, they're drinking beer and yelling and swearing and all that good stuff. So it's really, you know, as nice of an arena it is, it's got a little bit of a throwback feel to it because it's, you know, it's a tough fan base. You know, they love their hockey, they're passionate, and they're on you. You know, behind the home bench, the glass is only, you know, 2 feet high, so they can reach over and pour a beer on you or yell at you or whatever they want to do. So, you know, you have to keep your emotions in check a little bit at times. And we know how good a team is. You know, it's a good, a very, very good hockey team. They play strong. They play fast. You know, they're a competitive team. So, it's going to be a great weekend. You know, great for us to go on the road in that environment and see what we're made about. See what we're made of.
How about some of the players they have? Who are some of the guys to look out for who play for this team?
Yeah, well, I think 5 of their top 6 scorers are juniors or seniors. They're led by their upperclassmen there. Jake Kekuglia, their leading scorer, is a very skilled player. He can skate, he can score. Then you get into McMillan and one of those other guys up there. McMillan and Parks are having good senior years for them. You know, they kind of put their time in. They were depth guys when Christo and Knight were there a couple of years ago, you know, playing behind Hobie Baker candidates, and they've emerged a little bit. And then some younger guys, you got the Schmaltz brothers, their first, second-round draft picks, high-end skill guys. They're maybe not the true prototypical North Dakota player because they're more of a skill guy versus an in-your-face, nasty, competitive guy like most of their lineup is. You know, so they got players up front. You know, the Schmaltz brothers are skilled guys, as we'll see. A little bit different makeup, though, than the Mankato team and what they came in terms of their speed and the pace they play with throughout their lineup. I'll get Zane's name wrong. Gothberg, he changed his name in that. His new last name is McIntyre. I think he changed his name in honor of his mom a couple of years ago. But, you know, McIntyre was a very highly recruited goalie. You know, very, very good goalie. We had up and down year last year. He's really kind of solidified his game this year and a big challenge once again, you know, just like Williams was. If you can get to him, when you get to him, you really got to bear down and you really got to generate some second chance opportunities because he's a very good goaltender.
Have you got 22 healthy guys you can put on the bus?
Oh, pretty close. We're right there. You know, it might be four goalies or something, but yeah, we're right around that mark. So, you know, we need to clean up and get healthy here real quick for this trip and, you know, and then down to Ferris, another tough road trip and a much different rink and environment, but just as tough of a hockey team in terms of the pace and, you know, such a scattered game down in Big Rapids. And we'll talk about that, I'm sure, in the future.
But yeah, we'll talk about Ferris State probably next Monday night, but that's going to be tough. They still have C.J. Mott there, as we said earlier, a great goaltender. They have trouble scoring goals. I think we could sneak a game out on them if we play hard and maybe win two games down there. Who knows? This weekend, though, what's the travel plan? What is it, a sleeper bus again over to North Dakota?
Yeah, we do have a sleeper bus. It's you know, over 12-hour trip, so you know it's a long trip for sure. So we'll depart Wednesday night like normal and just go straight through. Hopefully, weather cooperates a little bit there, and that way when we pull into town, we'll kind of get off the bus and stretch the legs and get a little breakfast. You know, right now you're mandated 6 p.m. ice time Thursday night, so you end up sitting around a lot. So we're trying to get a little bit earlier ice. There's some good hockey action in the area, so I don't know if I'll get a chance to pop out, but Coach Mitro for sure will catch a good game Thursday night with some of our players playing in it. So that'll be good to get on the road and catch some good action out there. And then it's a business trip, you know. We're going out to win hockey games, and our guys got to be checked in, and they're excited, like you said. You know, not many of them have played in that environment. Bryce Schmidt's excited to get back that way, and he's been through that building. But again, it's a place you want to play. I mean, it's a great environment, and you know, to get to where we want to go to, you have to play in environments like this. And so it's really good where we're headed.
Yeah, Bryce Schmidt is from North Dakota, so there'll be a lot of people in the building to see him play, and yet it'll be his first time playing in that building. He's never, unless he played there in his minor hockey days, sure. But as a college player, it will be a first for him, too, and I'm sure that Bryce is really excited and looking forward to being able to play at Engelstad Arena out in Grand Forks, North Dakota. This is a team that you concentrate quite a bit on the offensive side of things. We struggle to score goals, though. That's probably, I think we're one of the bottom teams out of the 59 playing D1 in scoring. We average just over like 1.5 goals per game, which is not good, and it took a beating this past weekend. Power play, we're the third worst team in the country on the power play, and yet I looked at that today and I had to shake my head because Notre Dame is the second worst team in the country. They're worse than the Lakers on the power play. I can't understand that. They got 10 NHL draft picks in their lineup. They've got some great talent players, and yet they can't buy a power play goal. So, you know, maybe it's not that we're not able to do it. Maybe there's something going on here that'll break loose one of these days. I know on the weekend, Western Michigan University has really struggled this year. They scored 5 power play goals against Union College on Saturday and won the Shillelagh tournament down at Notre Dame. And before that, they beat Ohio State 6-2. So it seems like Andy Murray's figured out how the power play can work. Maybe we can do that too.
Well, and even as offense, because they've been a team, you know, similar to us, that just as their struggles offensively, and you know, a good friend of mine, former boss Dave Shyack's on that staff now, and you know, Dave's talked about it. They don't have a lot of. They feel like they don't have maybe a lot of high-end impact offensive players, but they certainly woke up this weekend. And, you know, we'd love to have a game like that where things just go in. You know, like you saw it against Fairbanks where pucks went in their net. Not the best shots, not the best goals, but they went in that night. And it actually was both ways that night. But, you know, we take more of those like that, you know. And even we mentioned Ciotti's grade A chance on Friday night. He scores on that power play chance, a little bit of a monkey off our back, and we're rolling. It's a 1-1 hockey game. So it's a funny game. It's a game of inches. You know, we've had some looks. I feel like we've certainly found some areas. You know, Draplick is much more comfortable where we have Draplick now. Jason Bird, it's much more comfortable. You know, those guys are both in shooting positions now versus Q being it. And, you know, I think we lack a true defenseman who can QB or power play right now. Now, part of that is maybe our youth. You're asking a freshman to come in and do some of that. You know, and again, I don't think Draplick, that's not his strength. He's good on the power play, but not up top running it. So we're starting, and Chris does a pretty good job. Ciotti's up top QBing the one group. You know, we found with Perfetto down below the goal line, he's got pretty good vision down there. He can walk the goal line pretty well. He, you know, Johnson's popping out. So we're starting to find where some guys work in. You know, Globke's playing better again, so I'm sure at some point he'll get his opportunity to work back into a power play group. We're starting to find some answers. And actually, last week in practice, we had one or two days we were kind of looking around like, boy, we really took a step with our power play. You know, guys are starting to get comfortable. And so we're trying to be patient as much as you can be when you're struggling, and let guys get a little familiarity and get some confidence and some comfort level going. At the same time, it's tough because everybody sees it. You know, it's such an important part of the game to capitalize on special teams, to be good both sides of it. When you don't, it's tough to really stick with things when it's not working.
Okay, we're going to take our final break in the show tonight from here at the Antlers, and we'll be right back with more with Damon Whitten right after this on the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. Feel free any Monday night. Come on down and join us. We've got a good crowd in here tonight. And, you know, the hardcore fans at Lake Superior State, Damon, are always with you. And these people who are in this building tonight are the hardcore fans. We've got a lot more of them, too. But kind of disappointing this past weekend. We did not have big crowds, and I know it helps if you do. We're going to see huge crowds this week, see how the home team feeds off that huge crowd. And I know you've been around the game long enough to know that if you've got 3,000 people in the building, it certainly does help the home team.
Yeah, no question. You know, when the schedule comes out and you look down and you see you're at home on Thanksgiving weekend, it's tough because, you know, your students are all gone, and a lot of times that's a little bit more of the life and the vocal part of it. So, you step out and it drains a little energy. We address it with the team and just let them know we've got to create our own energy, our own enthusiasm, because it's a holiday weekend and students aren't around or whatever. So, yeah, it's difficult, you know, but you know, we're responsible for that as well. We've got to create a buzz. We've got to win hockey games. And then we've got to give the fans, you know, some offense and some things to be excited about as well. So, you know, it falls both sides. And, I like you said, the fans are there, and we'll be there. You know, I promise you we'll be there. We'll continue to evolve and get better. And it's a bit of a process and longer than we want probably. But, you know, there's some different scenarios of why we're at where we're at, but we'll get there. And I know the fans will be there when we're ready to roll. I thought our students have been good. You know, obviously they're gone. They couldn't be good this weekend, but the few weekends before that, I thought our student section in particular was very loud, very vocal, and gave us a good home ice, and the rest of the community too. The support's been good beyond this holiday weekend, which I think you look around the country, it's no different anywhere else if you're home in the holiday.
Yeah, and it's going to be a while before we play at home. I would think that could be good in a way. We could have a huge crowd when we do play at home again, because they haven't seen us play in more than a month.
Yeah, I think you get nervous because you get off everybody's radar a little bit when you're not around for so long. You know, people forget about you a little bit, and you look at the one loss record a little bit. So, you know, we'll have to make sure people know we're back home and get out in the community. And, you know, obviously the people here I know do a great job for us, and we appreciate that. So it'll be exciting to get back home. I know our guys will be very ready to get back home and play in front of a friendly crowd.
Yeah, we get to, right now the Lakers have 6 points in the standings, alone in sixth place in a 10-team league. You're trying to get into the top eight to make the playoffs. That's where you want to stay, get a playoff situation, which we missed last year. We know at this point Alaska is going to be out because they're being banned by the NCAA and the WCHA from playing in the tournament at the end of the year. So it doesn't matter what the Nanooks do. It matters if you beat them because you pick up points, but doesn't matter where they finish, they could be a place, and they're not going to be in the playoffs. But teams to look out for there are Bemidji State, Alabama, Huntsville, and Anchorage. I think we got to kind of stay ahead of one or two of those teams if we want to grab a playoff berth. And the big problem right now is we've played the most games in the league, and those 6 points are all we've got to show for it. We've got some teams here with four games in hand, quite a few of them, and three of them are right behind us.
Yeah, it's the Michigan Tech have both played the 12 games there. And, yeah, and that's another part. You know, those games, those home games are so important. So, you know, you've got a top five team coming in like Mankato. You've got to do whatever it takes to get some home points. And then we've created some separation. So we're not, you know, as ugly as it looks, we're not in a terrible spot with some of those teams. You know, I think we're right there with Anchorage and Huntsville. You know, I think we can certainly, you know, do our work against those teams when we get some of them again. Bemidji is interesting because they've played teams tough and tight, and they're a much better team, but their record probably doesn't show some of that. And then they knock off St. Cloud this weekend. So they're a very dangerous team when we face them, and they skate extremely well. They're a fast team, and they play a tough style because they just kind of wrap and chip and put pucks behind instead of foot races. So that'll be an interesting test coming up. But we're not in a terrible spot, but you got to take advantage when you have league games and then climb that ladder.
Yeah, I think separation. A really helpful thing would be to do well at Ferris State, which we can do.
Yeah.
They're not a team that scores a lot of goals, and Gordy, if he plays well, or Kevin, whomever's in there in between the pipes, we can sneak points out of Ferris State.
Well, we've got to be great defensively to give ourselves a chance, and we've seen the last weekends where one night we're pretty good and we give ourselves a chance, and one night where we're very bad and give ourselves no chance. So we've got to solidify that and make sure we're very good both nights in order to have a chance to be successful, because we're not going to score 5-6 goals many nights to win hockey games in a shootout win.
Yeah, the record is fairly well broken. We've been talking about this from the start. It was difficult right out of the gate. You didn't get a chance to really even work with this team till after the first two games of the season. And that puts you behind the eight ball. And I know every practice there are definite plans. This is what we're going to work on. And people want to think that maybe we don't work on the power play and the PK, but those are very big parts of every practice. Yeah, I've seen.
Definitely not the case. You know, it's, you know, almost every day we do power play, and there's some days where you get a little bit of feel, or the opponents, you know, sitting there to come on the ice after you, so you want to stay away. But no question. I mean, special teams is such an important part of the game. You know, in Friday I thought we did a great job. You know, through two periods, I thought we were dynamite against a top power play group. Then they get the one power play goal that was a rush up the ice where he split two defensemen, so it wasn't really an assistant thing. It was, you know, just a lack of execution. The other one was kind of a harmless shot from the wall that we'll give up, but we didn't have a block or a stick tied up. So, you know, but certainly special teams are so critical. So we spend a lot of time and not only discussing it, but working on it, trying to find the right personnel, and we've seen some fairly big adjustments into what we looked like early in the year, and you know, still just trying to simplify, you know, getting pucks to net. But you know, a lot of times it starts up high with some young guys who are still looking to gain experience and handle. It's funny, you know, a guy like Jason Bird, you know, last year in Merritt in the BCHL in junior hockey, you know, he's the biggest, strongest, best player, and so he can fight a body off. And he can protect, still get a shot off. And now everything happens a couple seconds quicker. The guys are stronger. So what you could do for the last year or two in junior hockey is totally different. And it takes a while to understand that urgency, that heaviness, that desperation. And our guys are still doing it and learning that. So, you know, it's certainly a major work in progress, but we do spend a lot of time on it.
Yeah, we certainly do. We're almost out of time here tonight. We did find out, by the way, the players of the week this week are Alex Patan from Northern Michigan, or from Michigan Tech. He is the offensive player of the week. And Stefan Williams, the goaltender we just played, was the defensive player of the week for the second week in a row. And Ryan Fitzgerald from Bemidji, the defense or the rookie, the first-year player of the week. That's the award that James Roll won last week. There's a guy I thought played pretty well for you most of the weekend. He makes mistakes sometimes because he takes chances, but I thought he did a pretty good job all weekend. He and Aiden Wright have been really good for you.
Yeah, I thought Jimmy's best weekend defensively. You know, his defensive assignments, his reads, you know, he's playing with a little bit more strength to his game. You know, he's also coming off a major surgery, so he lost some time this summer in training and strength and conditioning. You know, you mentioned the one area he gets himself in trouble at times is trying to do a little bit too much. You know, we like the fact that he has some abilities, some stick skills. He can make some plays and has good vision. He, you know, a lot like we just talked about Jason Bird, he's got to figure out this level. He's got to be a second quicker, and he can't win a one-on-one strength battle right now until he's a little bit more experienced. So does a lot of good things for us, and he's going to be a real bright part of the future.
Okay, we're going to wrap it up here tonight. We didn't have a player. The reason we don't have players lately is all our players have class on Monday night. It seems like 15 guys have class on Monday night, and we'll see if we can work that out in the second semester at least, and maybe we'll get some of the guys we've already had on back in here again to update us on what they've been doing and how things are going for them. We're not going to have a Laker hockey show on the 22nd and the 29th of December, so make your plans around that too. One right before Christmas, the other right after. We'll be in Naples then, enjoying the warmth, I hope, and probably have a cold front come through down there, and it'll be like 30 degrees or something. But we'll be there in Naples this year as the Lakers play against Cornell and then either Notre Dame or Miami. And that about takes care of it on another Laker hockey show. Damon, thanks very much for being here. You've been more than good about handling this tough situation this season.
Well, it's part of the process, you know, and that's, again, there's a plan in place, and people have to believe and have faith. I know we do. As tough as it is and as frustrating as it can be, you know, our players have done a good job. And like I said, we feel confident in the direction we're headed and what we're trying to do. And so stick with us and keep supporting us, and we really appreciate it.
Okay. And tune us in this Friday and Saturday nights. Don't forget, it's Central Time to start. It'll be at 8:30 on Friday night and 8 o'clock on Saturday night. I don't know if I'll be there, but somebody will be here, and the games will be available. You'll be able to hear them on 99.5 SFM and on the internet.